But we're going to jump into the series. Malachi chapter 1. I want to invite you to pull out your message notes and follow along with me today. Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father," and I want you to understand, Malachi is a prophetic book. It's God speaking through the prophet Malachi to the generation, and actually it's God speaking to us today when you study this out. He goes on to say, and this is what I titled the message today. This is where the title comes from. He says, "Where is the honor?" Where is the honor? And he's asking that because he's kind of saying, you're showing honor to some things, but you're not showing honor to the things you need to be showing honor to. He says, "Where's the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord of Almighty? It is you, priests." Now, let me explain that word to you. In the Old Testament, the priests were a select small group of people. They were of the tribe of Levi. You had to be a Levite to be a priest, and only a few people could be priests. Under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, when Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, he qualified every single one of us that are followers of Jesus Christ to be a priest. So you need to understand, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are a priest. You no longer need a human priest to go to God for you. The word priest just means somebody that can connect to God. Well, in the New Testament, we have all been made priests. So you are now a priest. So this passage of Scripture is talking to you. You are a priest. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're a priest. So it is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. Now, the word contempt just means to reduce it down less than what it deserves, to just take it down a little bit. You've shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And what I want to do with this series is show you how we've done that. Because I think a lot of us in the generation today have shown contempt for God's name, for God's creation, when we should be showing some honor and some respect. And so this series was really born out of just kind of evaluating where our generation, evaluating where society is today, and realizing we need to bring back some honor. Where is the honor today? Where is the respect? Where has it gone? Why can't we bring it back? And one of the things that really challenged me is when we hired our associate pastor, Josh Beard, sitting here today, I've never met a young man in his 20s that knew how to respect and honor more than this kid. I mean, you talk to him, it's yes, sir, it's no, sir, it's yes, ma'am, and it's no, ma'am. And it really challenged me. It challenged me to ask myself, am I a person of honor? Am I a person of respect? Do I really understand what that means? Because in our generation, it's almost cool today to criticize people and to slander and to blog out against people and to kind of get on Facebook and just say all sorts of disrespectful and dishonoring things through our social media. And my assessment is what we've done today is we have brought on equal levels things that should not be on equal levels. And yes, I agree with the fact that we're all equal. We're all created equal and God loves all of us equally. But there are things in life that should be treated with a little bit more weight, a little bit more honor, a little bit more respect. And so what I want to do is next week, we're going to go through six specific things the Bible teaches us to honor. There's six things in the Bible says to honor. The last week, we're going to go through kind of how we actually do that. And today what I want to do is give you the challenge. I want to state the case and I want to step on some toes. And I believe, you know, after the last two services, I think I'm pretty accurate in saying this will probably step on everyone's toes a little bit. And that's my goal. That's what I want to happen today, because I think we all need to be challenged out of this message and really ask ourselves, am I a person of honor? Because I think it's time that we get a little old school. I think it's time we kind of go back to some old school principles and bring them back into our culture. I think it's time as a culture and a society that as men, we begin to respect women again and respect the ladies of our church again and bring back some chivalry. Women, I'm telling you, I am your friend this month. I'm your pastor and I'm going to help you out a little bit. I think it's time we go back to opening doors for the ladies. And some people say, well, they don't want that anymore. No. No, it's just that they've had to get used to living where we have lacked. Men, I just want to say, your young daughter needs to see you opening doors for her mom so she knows what to look for in a guy one day. Men, your young son needs to know what it looks like to take care of a woman by watching you honor and respect your wife. And it's time that we bring back some honor and get a little old school again. Because I really believe when we honor people, we're actually honoring God. And I'm going to show you that today in Scripture. So what would it look like today if we brought back some honor to our culture today? What would it look like today if children began to respect and honor their parents at home? What would it look like? What would it look like if parents began to respect their children and honor their children the way the Bible's called us to honor and respect our children? What would it look like in the workplace if we began to honor our bosses and honor our coworkers and honor our employees? What would it look like if there was a noticeable difference in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, that we were looked at as people of honor and people of respect? What would it look like if there were a little bit more yes sirs and no sirs and yes ma'ams and no ma'ams in our society? And I know some of you are saying, well, that's the Midwest. No, that's Christian. That's just the way we need to be living our life. What would it look like if we began to honor our government again and honor our elected officials and honor our flag and what the flag stands for and understand that men and women have given their life and shed their blood to give us the freedom of what that flag represents? You know, this week, my son and I were at home and we were watching a soccer game. It's World Cup season and the U.S. was playing. At the beginning of the game, they had the national anthem. And we're sitting at home in our living room. And my son's 6 years old, and I made him stand up in our living room for the national anthem. We put our hands over our heart, and I'm teaching him what it means to honor. That we're going to honor the flag. We're going to respect the men and women that have given their life for our country, either already given their life or living sacrifices, those serving in the military today. Let's go on to Malachi chapter 2. He kind of continues the dialogue from Malachi chapter 1 here in chapter 2. And the Bible goes on to say, and now this commandment is for you, O priest. God is saying this to you. You are the priest as followers of Jesus Christ. He says, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart, and I want to stop on those words, take it to heart, just for a moment, and let you understand one of the dangers of a series like this that deals with behavior is it's very easy that this could become another legalistic obligation. Like this is just another behavior I've got to do. I have to do this. I have to say yes, sir, and I have to honor. No. God's saying take it to heart. What does that mean? It means this needs to be written on your heart. These need to be principles that you fall in love with. So it's not a have to, it's a get to, it's a want to. I want to be a person of honor. Not because I have to, not because I live under the law, but because it's written on my heart. Jesus says, I want the law written on your heart, not on tablets of stone. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. I just want it written on your heart. So it's not something you have to do. It's something you want to do because it's in your heart. He says, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I'm going to send the curse. And let me explain that, because what he actually says is, I've already sent the curse. That's how he ends the verse. He says, I've already sent it. So you need to understand something about God, because there's a lot of confusion about this. Many people think that, well, God's going to curse me if I don't do this. No. God doesn't curse anybody. You need to understand, Jesus took the full curse of God when he hung on the cross, which means there's nothing left over for God to curse with. You hear people that say, God's cursing America. God's not cursing America. Sometimes we're cursing ourselves from our own decisions, but it's not God. God will not curse America. God won't curse anyone because Jesus took the full curse of God. The reality is the world we live in is already cursed. And God is saying, if you don't do this, you're simply living under that curse, keeping that curse, bringing it upon yourself, because what I want to do is bring you out from under the curse. If you'll learn these principles and get them in your heart, you'll bring blessing on your life and you'll move your... It's kind of like the tithe. You know, people say, well, if you don't tithe, God's going to curse you. No. God's not going to curse you if you don't tithe. The reality is the world you live in is cursed. What God wants to do is take the curse away. And so when you tithe, God takes the curse away and blesses you. That's what God wants to do, is he wants to bring blessing on your life. But sometimes we're tying his hands. We're tying his hands, and that's what he's talking about here. He goes, because you're not taking it to heart. You're not taking these principles to heart. So let's study this a little bit. Let's look at this word honor. Honor. In the Hebrew, it's the word kavod. Kavod is the Hebrew word for honor. In the Greek, in the New Testament, the word honor is translated as tamao. Tamao. And in both translations, Greek and Hebrew, the word honor means to add value, to add worth. And here's my favorite word here, add weight. Add some weight to it. I mean, take it seriously. Put some weight into it. You know, it's like if you're driving down a road and there's a giant boulder in the middle of the road, you better honor that thing. You better take that thing seriously. You better, because there's some weight to that thing. And if you don't honor it, you're going to be in trouble. If you have the attitude, well, I'm not going to slow down for anyone or anything. I'm just going to keep on going and I don't need to worry about that boulder. You're going to be a grease spot on the side of the road. It's not going to go well for you. You need to honor that thing because there's some weight to it. That's what the word honor means, is to add some weight to it. So in return then, the word dishonor means to take lightly, to take lightly. Dishonor simply means you're taking some things lightly. And I want to show you through this series that we're a generation, I believe, that's taking some things lightly that we shouldn't be taking lightly. We're not adding some weight and adding some honor to some things that God is calling us to honor. We're treating as common and ordinary things that should not be treated as common and ordinary. And I'll give you one example. Look at the way our society, by and large, treats the poor or people we think are poor, consider that are poor. And we all do this subconsciously. You're in the restaurant and you see the guy cleaning the tables and doing the dishes. And in your heart, it's just a subconscious thing that they're not really what you are. You know, they're somewhat less than you, and we don't really need to honor them or respect them or smile at them or greet them or even acknowledge them because, you know, they're just, you know, isn't it interesting how we treat people who we think has something for us? Like if someone's wealthy and someone's rich, how much differently we treat them than somebody we consider doesn't really have much to offer us. And God is saying all throughout Scripture, God harps on this. God is saying, you have shown contempt or you have taken lightly the poor, and therefore you're dishonoring their maker. You're dishonoring their maker. See, God's trying to bless some of us and he can't. He can't because of our actions. I think we're actually removing blessings from our life by the way we dishonor or the way we take lightly the poor. You know, we say, well, that's not for me. I don't really need to get involved with that. I don't need to say hi to him or smile or you know, even acknowledge that person. They don't really have anything for me. Isn't it amazing how we take lightly some things? That's why I love our Mexico Dream Team, because they understand honor. You know, they're going down next Saturday to our orphanage in Mexico. They go down there once a month to honor those children. They add some weight to those kids. They go down and they'll throw birthday parties for these children that their parents don't even want them. But they go down there and they love them and they want them and they add value to them and they honor them and they add some weight and they throw birthday parties. Why? Because they understand these kids matter to God. These kids aren't going to help them get a bigger house. They're not going to help them get a raise or promotion at work. They're not doing it for any personal gain. They're doing it to honor them, to honor their maker. And so this series, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be a little uncomfortable because we're going to see, all of us, I think, are going to see some areas in our life where we're dishonoring, we're taking some things lightly that God's calling us to honor. And the truth is, most of the time, we don't even see it. I mean, look at the way we use our cell phones today. I mean, someone's trying to talk to us and we're just, yeah, well, I mean, I know I should be looking at you, but what I'm doing here is so much more important than you are. I'm trying to, you know, get to level 85 in Candy Crush. I mean, it's like, I mean, we've lost honor as a culture. And I want to get us back to a place of honor. I remember a few years ago when I was working at the Dream Center in Los Angeles, we were part of the faith-based initiative with President Bush, and I was invited to go to the White House for a meeting, and I was excited. I mean, I've never been to Washington, D.C., and I mean, you get to go to the White House for a meeting. I'm telling you, I honored that meeting. I put some weight to that. I took it. I was not taking that meeting lightly. I actually flew in a day and a half early because I wasn't going to take anything for the chance. I mean, I was not going to risk a flight getting canceled or delayed or missing it. I did not take that. I wasn't going to just show up an hour before and try to catch a cab over to the White House and kind of take that meeting lightly. But isn't it amazing how we take other meetings lightly that we really don't feel like, well, they're not the president. It's not the White House. I don't need to be there on time. I don't need to show up early. I mean, it's not that big a deal. But if it's something that was like a business deal, you'd be early. If you had the potential of getting a serious payout, you'd show up early. You'd honor that meeting. You wouldn't take it lightly. But it's so funny how we choose what to honor and we choose what to dishonor. I don't need to be at church early. It's just God. It's not like I'm going to make any money out of it. I don't have to put any weight in that. I can just kind of stroll in whenever I want to stroll in. And again, let me say, this is not a have-to series. Don't misunderstand me. There's no condemnation here. This is something we're trying to write on our heart. I want to be early at church. I want to see what God can do in my life. I want to see how God can use me in the parking lot to welcome someone that's never been to our church and befriend someone and smile at somebody. I want to be a part of what I want to take it seriously. I want to put some weight to it. What would it look like if we were a generation that treated every meeting like it was a meeting at the White House? What would our culture look like? Where is the honor? That's the name of the message. I want to show you this in the life of Jesus in Mark chapter 6. There's a story that really illustrates this message well. It says in verse 1, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. This is God teaching in the church. I mean, get a picture of this. This is God teaching in the church. You would think this would be the greatest service of all time. You'd think the people would be just, this is incredible. I can't believe I'm listening to God teach in my local church. This is awesome. But look at how they reacted to him. It says, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, I know you think that sounds positive, but the Greek root of that, ekopleso, literally is a negative translation. It means they were kind of astonished at him. They were in shock. Who's this guy trying to change what we believe? Why is he trying to mess up what we've been doing for hundreds of years? Who's this guy think he is? What's he doing coming in here and trying to give us a new way of doing stuff? And they ask, and this is completely sarcastically the way they ask this question, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? And then they scoff, he's just a carpenter. No, he's not, he's the Son of God. He's just a carpenter. The son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended. And they refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown. Except where you treat something as common. Except when you reduce it down below where it should be. Except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And look at this. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Did you catch that? I mean, he's God. He's got all the power to perform miracles. You see it throughout all of the Gospels. And yet in this one circumstance, it says he couldn't do any great miracles because of the way they honored him or dishonored him, the way they were treating him. He as God was limited by the attitude of the recipient. So here's my question. If that's true, then is the opposite also true? In an environment where he's honored, can he do more in our life? Can there be more miracles? Can there be more incredible things happening inside of us? What would it be like if the recipients elevated their esteem for who he was? Let me give you two clues on why they dishonored him out of this story. The first one is familiarity. Familiarity causes dishonor. Familiarity is simply anything you think you are close to, or you think you are equal to, or you become too accustomed to, has a chance of receiving dishonor from you. And I want you to look at the root word of this. Familiar, what's the root word? Family. Family. Isn't it amazing in our society that one of the greatest places of dishonor is in our home? One of the greatest places of dishonor is in the family. The way our husbands treat our wives, the way our wives treat our husbands, the way our children treat our parents. I want to tell the young people of our church, the teenagers of our church, I'm asking you to amaze your parents this week with honor. I'm asking you to amaze them with honor. I want a new culture of young people. When mama speaks, it's not what? I'm on level 13. What do you want? I'm busy. No, 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 no. When I grew up, we didn't say what to mama. I said what one time to mama. One time I said what. My dad changed my mind about that really quickly. I mean, it was not pretty. I mean, you want to talk about falling under the curse? I fell under the curse that day. I was not under the Father's blessing. I mean, my dad was like, listen, I saw what it took your mom to put you on earth. You are not going to treat her that way. I mean, there was no what when I grew up. Young people, let me give you the proper response. When your mom calls your name, it's yes, ma'am, while you're walking towards her. That's the proper response. Yes, ma'am, while you're walking towards her. Parents, I'm going to be your friend this month. Because we need a culture of honor back, a culture of respect back into our society. Let's have a revival of honor. Honor in our family, honor to the poor, honor to our nation, honor to our bosses at work. Let's see some miracles here because we don't become so familiar with people that we can't honor them. And here's the second clue. It says offenses. They were offended. Offenses cause dishonor. You can never honor that which offends you. You can never honor that which offends you. And I'm about to step on some toes, but you need to hear this. If you're offended by the government or by elected officials, you're going to treat it at a different place than God has called you to treat it. Because Romans 13 says all authority comes from God. Not some authority, all authority comes from God. You don't have to agree with everything, but you can disagree in a respectful, honoring manner because I'm tired of hearing. And let me just say, I'm preaching this message at me because I'm as guilty as anybody. This is not for you. This is just as much for me as it is for you. I'm tired of followers of Jesus Christ slandering, bashing, and constantly criticizing the president. Just dishonor, 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 dishonor. We don't honor him because of who he is. We honor him because of who we are. It's our character that's exposed, not his. When I dishonor him, that doesn't expose his character. It exposes my character. And I'm the first to admit, I don't agree with much. But I can disagree in a very respectful way because of who I am, not because of who he is. So how do we do this? Let me show you how to live your life with honor. Let's talk about living our life with honor. Number one, honoring begins with God's claim on them. The first thing you have to understand, honoring begins with God's claim on them. This is how you live with honor. It has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. Has absolutely nothing to do with whether they deserve it. So whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal or conservative, black, white, brown, or whatever, honor does not begin with your assessment about them. Honor begins with how God views them. So how does God view people? How does God view that jerk you don't like at work? Let's talk about it. How does God view that elected official you can't stand and you think is ruining the country? How does God view them? I'll tell you how God views them. He views every person as somebody he created, somebody he loves, and somebody he died for. That's how he views every single person. And let me have a moment of confession. I'm a pretty nice guy most of the time, but there are times when I get into my car when it just changes. And I don't know if anyone else wants to confess with me today, but does your personality sometimes change when you get into your car? It's like when you're in the car, it's not you. You become a machine and they're not a person. They're a machine. That's why you can't make eye contact, because if you make eye contact, you got to let them in. But if you don't make eye contact, it's just a machine. You don't have to let them in because they're not human if you don't make eye contact. I don't know about you, but that's just kind of the way it is. I mean, confession's good for the soul. It's bad for the reputation, but that's just... And the other day, I was driving down the road, and somebody did something that wasn't so friendly on the road and kind of cut me off, and they're a total jerk about it and made me mad. And in my heart, I've gotten to the point where I don't actually do it out loud anymore, but in my heart, I just unloaded on the person. I mean, what a jerk. I can't believe that. What an absolute idiot. Who gave them a license? I mean, they're the biggest moron to ever drive a car, and I'm just like going off in my heart. And I heard Jesus say, "That's my idiot. That's somebody I died for." And I tell you, it was challenging. It didn't feel good in that moment to have Jesus rebuke me like that. See, I've got to change my view, not based on what they do, but based on God's claim on them. This is why the Bible says in Ephesians 5, submit to one another. Submit to the people you don't like. Honor everyone, basically. Why? Because they deserve it? No. Out of reverence for Christ. See, you do it out of reverence for Christ. You don't do it because of who they are. You do it out of reverence for Christ. Number two. And let me just say one more thing about that. When you call somebody a jerk or an idiot or a moron, I want you to understand it is exactly the same as looking at Jesus Christ saying, you're a jerk. You're an idiot. And I want you to think about it. Next time you call someone a jerk, you're calling Jesus a jerk. Because it goes both ways. And I know you'd say, like, well, I would never do that. But the Bible says when you've done it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. See, if you're disrespecting his creation, you're disrespecting him. Here's number two. Honoring benefits me too. Honoring benefits me too. And I don't necessarily like giving you this point because I don't always like to give you things that benefit you. Sometimes I think the motivation has to be higher than that we should do these things simply because they're right and because we should. But the Bible goes out of its way to show you this, and so I need to show you this today, that honoring will benefit you. This is what Mark chapter 6 illustrates so well. He couldn't do any miracles. They were the ones that lost out because they did not honor him. If they would have honored him, they would have been blessed. They would have received miracles. Great things would have happened in their life if they would have honored him. So they lost out on benefits by not honoring him. See, when you honor something, you can benefit from it. You position yourself to benefit from it. And this is tough for us because sometimes we get so close to people that we don't want to honor them because we see the other side of them. And then we don't want to honor them because, well, they don't really deserve my honor. They haven't done anything worthy of it. And you're the one that's losing out. I see it illustrated so well in church every week. I see people who come to church with honor and they're excited and they're putting a lot into it and they're taking it seriously. And they're the people, by and large, every single week that God is doing incredible things in their life and their marriages and their family. You could see what's happening during the service. You see them changing. And then there's other people who come to church and they take it lightly. You know, it's not really that big a deal. They're just kind of going through the motions. And very, very little happens in their life. They get very, very little out of the service. And it all depends on how you honor it. What you honor, what you value, the way you value something will determine the way you value from it. The level of honor determines what you're going to receive from it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, Paul is referencing one of the Ten Commandments. He's referencing an Old Testament command. Well, I thought we weren't under the law anymore. We're not under the law anymore. But Paul is saying, listen, let the law become a principle of your heart. You don't do it because it's a law. You do it because it's a principle of your heart. And let me tell you, this principle brings blessing. This is the first principle that will bring blessing into your life. It's the first command in the Bible that's attached to a promise. And all the kids here need to hear this. Any kid living at home with your parents, you need to hear, honor your father and mother. Why? That it may go well with you. How many of you want it to go well with you? And that you may enjoy long life on earth. And I want you to focus on the word enjoy. It doesn't say that you'll endure long life on earth. Nobody wants to endure a long life on earth. I want to enjoy a long life on earth. How? Honor my mother and father. Honor my mother and father. Let me give you the last point in closing. Number three, honoring is decided, not deserved. Honoring is decided, not deserved. You don't honor because you think they deserve it. You do it because of who you are. And I'm telling you, married couples, if you would apply this to your marriage would be so much more different because we've all been through the crazy cycle. My wife and I, we find ourselves in it all the time. Well, I'm not going to honor her. She doesn't deserve it. She hadn't done anything to earn it today, so I'm not going to show her what she wants me to show her because she hasn't earned it. She doesn't deserve it. Well, I'm not going to show him any honor today. He hadn't earned it. Well, what would our marriages look like if we began to honor our wives, not because they earned it or not because they deserved it, but because of who we are? What would our marriages look like, wives, if we began to honor and respect our husbands, not because they did really well today or they earned it or they did really good, but simply because of the character of our heart? How radically different would our marriages be if we just applied these principles that honor is decided, not deserved? And let me just say, all of you are going to have some honor tests this week. You're going to have plenty of chances to practice this message this week. I guarantee it. Look at this in closing, 1 Peter chapter 2. For the Lord's sake, respect. And the root of this word respect, again, it's a heart issue. It's not a command. It's not something you have to do. It's something God wants written on your heart. Respect all, not some, all human authority. Whether the king is the head of the state, well, we don't have a king. We've got a president. Or the officials he has appointed for the king or president has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. What's he talking about? He's talking about the IRS. He's talking about our highway patrol, our police officers, our speed traps they set up that none of us like. I got caught in one not too long ago, and I tell you, pulling up to the officer, I mean, it was just such a ridiculous area right by my house. I'm like, really? I mean, can't you guys go to, like, you know, I'm going to get in a bad spirit all over thinking about it. And I tell you, I pulled up the officer and I wanted to unload every sarcastic comment I could think about how worthless this was. And it's tough sometimes. This isn't easy. But again, we've got to learn to do this because of who we are, not because of who they are. Verse 15, it is God's will. This is God's will for you, that you live honorable lives, that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Silence their talk by living differently, in other words. Verse 15, for you are free. And that simply means that, listen, you don't have to do this. This is not legalistic law. You're free. You're under grace. You're free, yet you're God's slave. See, you've chosen to be God's slaves. You've chosen to give your life to God, to surrender your life completely to Him. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Verse 17, respect. And this is that Greek word tamao, which is interchangeable with honor all through the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated as respect. Sometimes it's translated as honor. And here's a word that's going to mess up your week. Everyone. Come on, God. Really? Everyone? Even that jerk on the road? Yes, that jerk on the road. Everyone. Respect everyone. 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 And love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the King. Listen, as a church, I want you to be a person that will honor, not out of duty, out of delight. Let this be written on your heart today. Let it be written on your heart. And what I want to do now is I just want to honor this moment. Would you just close your eyes for a minute? And I want you to just allow the Holy Spirit right now to challenge you. What area of honor is the Holy Spirit pinpointing in your life right now? What is He challenging you on? What area have you not been a person of honor, that you've been taking some things lightly, that you should be adding a little bit of weight to? It could be something that I've illustrated in the message, or it could be something completely that I haven't even mentioned that the Holy Spirit is showing you right now. But I want you to just really allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you right now on this message. Some of you need to really take the first step of honor, and that's honoring Christ for who He is and what He did on your behalf. And the way you do that is you surrender your life completely to Him. You just lay down your life completely to Him. Just surrender it all. Say, Jesus, I want You to be the Lord and the ruler of my life. And in this, today may be the very first time you've ever made that decision. Or you may be here today and you say, you know what, I need to recommit that decision. There was a time where I really surrendered my life to Christ, but I haven't lived that way in a long time. And today I really need to recommit my surrender to Him. I need to recommit Him being the Lord of my life. And so I want to give everyone an opportunity with every eye closed. I just want to pray a very simple prayer with you. If you're here today and you really need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, to really surrender it all to Him, or you need to recommit that decision, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. You don't even need to pray this prayer out loud. I'm telling you, God will hear your heart when you pray this prayer. But if you're here today with every eye closed, if you want to join me in that very simple prayer of just really surrendering it all to Him, or recommitting your surrender to Him, with nobody looking around, would you just slip up your hand and say, like, I'd like to join you in that prayer. Slip up your hand right now. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that'd like to make that decision? Thank you. Thank you. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Here's how you do it. In your heart, I just want you to pray this simple prayer. The first part of the prayer is just say, Jesus, today I want You to take total control of my life. I surrender to You. Just pray that to Him right now in your heart. The second part of the prayer is, Jesus, will You forgive me for all of my sin? And sin is just a Bible word that means you missed the mark. Either you did too much of stuff you shouldn't have done, or you didn't do enough of stuff you should have done. Either way, we've all done it. You're not alone. All of us have sinned. All of us have had to ask Jesus to forgive us. Just say, Jesus, will You forgive me of all my sin? And then lastly, would you just say, Jesus, thank You. Thank You for saving me. You can look up for just a moment. I want to ask, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I want to encourage you to take one more step on your own. On your connection card, there's two boxes. One says, I'm committing my life to Christ. One says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. If you made either decision today, I want to encourage you to check one of those boxes and drop it off in one of our tithe and offering boxes as you leave today. And here's the reason why. This is the greatest decision you'll ever make, and we want to support you. We want to pray for you. We want to give you the resources you need to walk out that decision. One of the greatest resources is to join us today for lunch at 12:30. If you can come back at 12:30, we're doing our Essentials 201 class, where we're going to go through the four key essentials of what it means to follow Christ and to live your life for Him. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been to the 201 class, you may be a Christian for many, many years, come and freshen up. You know, just come and hear those principles all over again, because I think you'll get something new out of it, and it'll encourage you to go to another level. If you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, our favorite thing to do as a church is to give away Bibles. We have plenty of Bibles available outside. More than anything else we can offer you, if you would take this book and read it every day, it will change your life completely. I can't logically or intellectually explain to you how it works, but what I will tell you is when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you read this, it'll breathe life inside of you. It'll breathe life inside of you. And it's something you can only experience. It's something that can't be explained, but you can experience. So pick up a Bible and take it with you today. Would you stand with me as we close? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for this message, Lord. I know it's challenging and it's tough to listen to, because I think all of us, including myself, God, there's so many areas of my life, I realize I'm taking some things lightly. And as a result, being dishonoring to some things that I should be putting a little weight to and honoring. And so God, teach me through this series, Lord, to step up myself to a new level of honor, and let it be written on my heart, not something I have to do, God, something I want to do because I love you and I just want to be a person of honor. So let it be written on my heart. Bless everyone here and continue to challenge them with this message this week and show them the honor test, Lord, so that they're not reacting, but they'll decide ahead of time how they're going to handle that test. So that when they're in the middle of the test and they want to react, God, they've already made a decision ahead of time on how they're going to deal with it. So bless them when they encounter those tests this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Have a great week, everybody. I see life through the eyes of a different soul. I left my past so my future would be under control.